a traditional spin of the UFO to start the show. And maybe one ding. Welcome, everybody. Hello there. I hope you're having a wonderful day. I've had a fairly decent day myself. Nay, it's been fantastic. It's been a fantastic day. You know, and I hope the same for you. And actually, you as well, Carlin. Welcome.
Thank you, Adam. I have had a great day.
That's great to hear. People have been wondering where you've been, Carlin.
It's great to be back. You guys are such drama queens.
Maybe
I can't even see that. I can't even see the chat right now. I can't even see them.
It could be the Twitter folks. All of them are here, but maybe some people in chat are.
Maybe they're just a few gossipers around. No, I've been busy. I have been trying to get a bill passed in New Hampshire to ban critical race theory. I've been doing
love this.
Stuff.
Tell us about it.
It's
what are you going through?
Up all of my time. It is like I'm on the phone constantly with like state representatives and just like average everyday people. And I got to tell you, it's been truly an eye-opening experience to hear from just like normal people, and they really don't understand this stuff. And I feel like, you know, oftentimes we might talk about these things and how crazy all of this stuff is, and we've been doing it for years now. We forget that average people don't know this stuff. So I've had to run around doing all these presentations, being on the phone, talking with people all day. It's been absolutely crazy, but it's also, you know, it's been really eye-opening for me how the whole political process works, because in theory, this should be a no-brainer. Republicans in New Hampshire control everything. But no. My governor, who is a Republican, is not acting like a Republican. So now there's been massaging and having tried to get the governor on board, and he's made this announcement that he's going to veto the bill. And it's like,
oh gosh,
all this crazy stuff. But
is it one of those, what do they say? A rhino?
Yo, my God, he's such a rhino. He is such a rhino.
Rhinos.
Rhino. And he comes from, like, his father was chief of staff under George H.W. Bush, which would tell you, like, a lot. And he has, like, a trust fund and all this stuff. But thing is, he wants to run for senator in 2022. And it's like, you know, he's basically trying to kiss the backsides of all the Democrats in the state. So it's like, what I have learned in this whole experience is that, and this is not going to be news, but I think it's been more pronounced for me in the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Politicians don't give two flips about average everyday people. Spoiler alert.
No, I just don't believe
They don't. They don't.
What?
They don't. But I will
politicians
say,
don't care about us?
No. But I will say, like, some
really?
Of the, like, many of the state reps I've been working with, they're awesome. They're doing it for all the right reasons. But most of them just, oh my God, it's mind-bogglingly bad.
I'm blown away. I had no idea.
I thought
their whole jobs were to help us.
No, it is not their job. No, that is not their job at all. I don't even know what Chris Sununu's job is. Chris Sununu's my governor. But, you know, I have been inundating his office with emails and phone calls. And so I'm sure he's not too happy about that. But like, whatever. Mm. He deserves it for saying he's going to veto the bill. And he's making up these stupid excuses. And it's like, it's Adam, I've been hitting my head against the wall for the past month. I can't do it anymore. I was thinking about running for office before all of this, and now I'm just like, no,
don't lose it.
No,
I
can't.
Look, it's not only there. One of my viewers, John L., he super chats a lot. He lives in New York, and he's pushing to get into politics, trying to help. I don't know exactly the details, but he's saying that he's Republican, and his Republican, I don't know, constituents, whatever, are just being, they're like, well, there's no chance we can win, so let's just give up.
Exactly. And I got to tell you, so I actually have a message going on Facebook right now with just average everyday people in New Hampshire talking about critical race theory. And they're all like, no, we can't talk about how the Democrats are supporting it. We can't. Everyone's entitled to their own views. And I'm like, do you guys want to win?
Yeah.
Or like, what are you doing? Like, this is why Republicans lose every single time, is that they don't fight. And I feel like I've been dragging so many people behind me just trying to get anyone to care about this. And I'm like, they're teaching your kids that they're racist. They're literally the University of New Hampshire. I've been spying on all of the major institutions in New Hampshire. The University of New Hampshire did a webinar where they told white employees their role was to shut up and to educate themselves.
Wow.
I'm not kidding. I'm not. Southern New Hampshire University, which is not only one of the largest universities in New Hampshire, they have a huge online program. They have a lot of students. They have a 5-year diversity plan. And they, in that plan, people have to have conversations with their managers about their unconscious bias. And they have this document that basically says, you know, we respect free speech, but sometimes free speech can hurt people and it needs an intervention.
Free speech is free speech.
Yeah. So it's just like the level of insanity that I've seen in the last month as I've been working on this has just been insane. So that's why I've been gone. There's been no drama. Wow. There's no beef. There's no gossip or anything like that. That's why I've been away.
Oh my gosh. And you know what? That's just one state, right? Can you imagine what California is like?
Dude, let me tell you about Rhode Island.
Oh my
goodness. Yesterday, yesterday I testified in the Rhode Island House of Representatives. They had introduced a similar bill. It's the second House of Representatives I've testified in, but it didn't. Don't clap just yet.
I'm clapping for you.
Well, thank you.
Just for you showing up and doing that. I don't know what happened, but it doesn't matter.
Well,
you showed up.
Here's what happened. So it was supposed to be like me and James Lindsay and a few other experts. And we were supposed to get 5 minutes.
Yeah.
So that's like already each? Like a really each. Yeah, we were supposed to get like 5 minutes each, which is already a really short period of time. Well, we show up and it turns out that a school teacher, a high school teacher in Rhode Island, had made it a class assignment for her students to sign up to testify for this bill, because when like anyone can testify in these things, like all you have to do is sign up through your government's website. And so they had 100 students signed up to testify in opposition to this bill in Rhode Island.
Oh,
and because they had so many, they reduced my time and Lindsay's time to 1 minute.
Wow.
1 minute. And the chairman of the committee, who is a Democrat, interrupted me during my 1 minute of testimony.
What a surprise.
I was like, come on. And then all these students were coming on and they like don't even know what to say. They were given a script by their teacher. And I'm like, is there any more confirmation for why a bill like this is needed?
They're
like,
lemmings now. They're turning our kids into lemmings.
This is like literally a high school teacher telling her class what to think and then mandating that they testify in the House of Representatives in opposition to a bill. Like,
parents, where are you? Where are the parents?
Well,
what happened to parenting? Teaching your kids how to think the way that they should. Not letting someone else do it for you. School is not supposed to be babysitting.
No, it's infuriating. And some of the things I'm seeing in these... Adam, I got a DM from a high schooler yesterday, from a senior in high school that was given one of Robin DiAngelo's books by their teacher to use in a class assignment.
Oh my.
I have on my channel right now a recorded class from an eighth grader, a 14-year-old, who watched my channel, so he knew what to watch for. And when the social justice unit came up in his curriculum, he hit record like a champion and sent it to me.
Boss moves.
I know. I was like, yes.
Boss moves.
But the class, it literally shows how the teachers are indoctrinating the kids into this ideology.
Wow.
Because what happened is the teacher started with, oh, you like the line in the Pledge of Allegiance that says, and justice for all, right? You think justice is a good thing. Well, if you think justice is a good thing, then you should like equality. And if you like equality, then you should really like equity. Equity is what we really, because equity is the most fair. And if you agree with equity, then you have to embrace social justice and you have to work to dismantle power and privilege so that everything can be fair and just. And it was like,
so that we can have socialism.
Yes.
And a communist world. That's what they're pushing. That's what they're turning us into.
That's exactly what they're doing. That's exactly what they're doing.
Wow.
And it's like, it's happening right in front of these parents. Like, you can watch this on, like, it was a Zoom class.
Wow.
And like, oh,
I want to send that eighth grader like an award for that.
Yes.
That's amazing.
That eighth grader, like, good.
Shout out to that eighth grader. I don't know if you watch my show, you watch Carlin's show, but if you're watching right now, thank you. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you very much. You're a boss. Okay.
Yeah.
Stay based.
And it was so funny based. Too. Because I edited this out of the recording I put on my channel, but like at the very beginning of the recording, you can hear him calling to his mom. He's like, "Mom, Mom, look what they're showing!" And wow. He's so excited.
Oh, because it was on a Zoom
yeah.
class or something.
Yeah.
It's wow.
Like, oh my God, this is what we're and I mean, I got to be honest. It's like it's really depressing too, because what is being done to children in this country? What they're yeah. being like having like shoved down their throats by the teachers in these schools.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to ruin an entire generation.
I agree.
It really is.
Yeah, totally.
And the mental health crisis that we're gonna have in 5-10 years between this stuff and the COVID lockdowns. Like, I gotta admit, I've been blackpilling a little, Adam. I'm still gonna fight. I'm not gonna because I think that the fight is important, and I think it's like if we're gonna go down, we might as well go down fighting. But
yeah,
I'm almost like I don't know if this is winnable. I really don't.
But you know what? If you do give up, though, then it's not winnable.
Yeah.
Because it's people like you doing what you're doing, shining a light on. I didn't know this. This is new information to me. You know, you got some eighth grade class or they're being given Robin DiAngelo's book, White Fragility. It is White Fragility, right?
That no, book? It's actually it's a textbook that she wrote. It's the textbook she wrote before White Fragility. Yeah.
So it's even for bigger. School.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
so it's even worse.
It's a nightmare. It's an actual nightmare.
This is a problem. This is a problem. And like I've been saying this for at least a year. I know because we started that show in February, so it's now April. So I'm almost at the 1 year mark of Adamcast, the first Adamcast, and I've constantly been saying we need new people in government. We need people that bring in fresh ideas instead of just letting this what seems like a machine of socialism / communism, whatever, equity, okay, equality of outcome is not possible. We can't have that, okay? That doesn't exist. It doesn't work. All right, a society doesn't work like that, and that's what they're trying to push. They're trying to convince people that that's the way it is, and they're not. It's insane. They're trying to convince kids. All right.
Yeah.
Like once they're an adult, like, okay, fine. You can believe what you want. I don't agree with you believing that, but it's kind of crazy. But don't teach other people's kids. Like, that's why I said, where's the parents? Why aren't the parents stepping in and teaching their kids? Like, I'd be outraged if I heard that.
Well, and the thing of it is, too, is that at least in New Hampshire, I mean, this, that you want to know what the bill in New Hampshire bans?
What?
Let me list off a couple of things that it bans. It bans teaching that one race is superior to another.
Okay.
It bans teaching.
That's good.
Yes, one would think. It bans teaching that people should feel guilty because of their race.
Oh, that's great.
It bans.
You shouldn't feel guilty.
Exactly. It bans teaching that the United States was founded on racism and is a fundamentally racist country. These are the types of things that the bill in New Hampshire bans. And actually the same with the one in Rhode Island, because it's modeled after the one in New Hampshire.
Yeah.
And the amount of Democrats that have been coming out saying this bill is racist, it's racist, it's racist. Like the very first line of the bill says you can't teach that one race is superior to another. So it's also like
how is it racist? How?
Exactly. And none of them can actually like list off, if we list off like the components of the bill and say, okay, which one of these do you disagree with?
Yeah.
No answer.
Right.
No answer. So there is no intellectually honest conversation happening about this ideology. And then they say, well, this bill bans teaching racism. It bans teaching slavery. But it doesn't. It just says that you can't teach this stuff as if it's fact.
Making up lies.
They're
it's
making
like the
up
whole
lies.
Thing in Georgia that's going on right now.
Oh, yeah.
Voter IDs are racist. No, it's not.
No.
You're racist by thinking that minorities can't get IDs. Everyone gets IDs. It's part of life. Everyone, right. You need an ID to fly. We have to have an ID to fly, but not vote. Mm-hmm. How is this racist? They're the racist one. They're not even recognizing this.
And then adding on the vaccine passport on top of
it. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Which, I mean, I'm sorry. You expect everyone to have a smartphone? Is that what I'm hearing? Because that's like a smartphone is expensive.
Yeah.
Like, why do we all of a sudden expect that everyone would have a smartphone that they have? Like, I just don't. It's the most mind-boggling thing. Like, that's okay. It's okay to require someone to buy a $1,000 smartphone, but they can't go to the DMV and get an ID?
Yeah. Everyone gets an ID. It's a part of life.
Yeah.
That's it. Everyone has an ID. And if you don't, usually you're nefarious.
Yeah.
Or you're just not old enough yet.
I have to admit, I'm partially losing faith in humanity in the whole this whole process.
Carlin, I gotta say, I don't blame you. Okay. But at least don't lose faith in yourself.
No. I will never lose faith in myself. I'm gonna keep fighting until the bitter end. I'm gonna go down with the ship.
Good.
Like I'm working on a book right now that's like just like a subversive little like guidebook to like just cause trouble.
Good,
and like to fight back up against this stuff. And like this is the only way we win. The only way we win this fight with critical race theory, at least I think, is that we have to make it painful for them to continue to perpetuate this ideology.
Yeah.
Like right now it's easy, right? It's easy to do it. Even executives and organizations, they're doing it because it's the path of least resistance. Their employees are demanding they do it. Their HR people are demanding it. So it's like okay, fine, do your thing. So it's easy to do it right now. But what if we made it harder for them? What if we just made it a painful prospect to like bring into, or I got it. Adam, I got an email leaked to me today. It's on my Twitter so everyone can see it, from one of the largest defense companies in the world that is now mandating that every position that is of a certain level bring in people of color to interview. It's based purely on their skin. Like,
that's ridiculous.
And of course, like, you know, I have no problem with diversity. Right. Yeah. Like no one has any problem with this. Like, you know, I everyone should have access to every single opportunity. But when you're mandating that hiring decisions get made based purely on someone's skin color, that's racist. And they need to be called out for that.
This right here. City of Oakland is branded racist for giving families of color $500 a month if they earn under $59,000 with no rules on how to spend it, but offering poor white families nothing. I didn't show the article.
No.
Why isn't it showing? There we go.
There it is. Like,
why? I mean, how is that not racist?
It is.
That's fairly racist, right?
I have a member of my locals community that might be eligible for the reparations in Chicago.
Okay.
And so we had a whole, like, we do Zoom meetings in my locals twice a week. We had a whole conversation spending his reparations check. And we're like, here's what we're going to do. You're going to donate it to a conservative cause of some sort. We're going to get a big check and there's going to be a ceremony. And you're going to donate your reparations. It's like, the only thing you can do is make fun of this stuff. That's all you can do. Oh, God.
Democrat Senators Tammy Duckworth and Mazie Hirono say they will vote against all Biden nominees who are not racial minorities. They say, well, they'll only vote for a white nominee if the nominee is LGBTQ.
Well, mysteriously, this happened like the day after Marty Walsh got confirmed as labor secretary. And Marty Walsh is a very straight white man from Boston. He's Boston.
So they waited until afterwards? Or yes. Is that what you're saying?
They waited until the day after, until after Marty Walsh was confirmed. Yeah.
How is that legal?
Well, I mean, they can vote for whoever they want, but you know, this is actually a good example though, because like the gleaming ray of sunshine that I get from this whole situation is the left is eating itself while all this is going on. They're doing stupid stuff like this.
Mm-hmm. Virtue signaling, and it's what seemingly. I mean, what happened to meritocracy? This is just a question, right? If you were to get a job, right? Doesn't matter what job it was. Say it was the job that you always wanted. And then you were told, hey, you only got this job because you filled a specific quota of a specific race / gender. Not because you earned it. Not because you're good. Not because you're the one who were the best for the job. No. You might not even be, whatever, doesn't matter about your qualifications, doesn't matter. You're a specific race and a specific gender. Does that not, don't you find that very insulting? I've seen it so much in the past year. Oxford, in the midst of last summer, they were like, well, if you're African-American, you don't have to work as hard. You can do X amount to pass. Where everyone else has to do here, you have to do here. That's telling the world that these people can't do it. And that you can't do it if you're a minority. Like, that's insulting. This is insulting. They're insulting everyone. They're not insulting me. They're insulting the people that they're talking about. Oh, only white nominees of LGBTQ. Well, I would be insulted if I was that person. Like, oh, you're only going to vote for me? Not because I'm worth it? Not because I've earned my place here? Or a racial minority. That's the only reason. Biden, why did he pick Kamala? Oh, right, because she's a person of color and a woman. He straight up said that. Kamala, mm-hmm. Hey, you didn't get your position because of your merit. Biden said it himself. The president of the United States said to the American public, I'm only choosing a VP based on being a person of color and a woman, period. Wouldn't that insult you if you were only chosen for being a woman?
Well, yeah, it would insult me. And I'll tell you, I mean, I'll give you another real world example. Let's talk about the gender pay gap for a second.
Sure.
Which is a thing that does not exist. Like when you account for like the hours worked, the type of work, all that stuff, it gets to be a very, very it closes the gap a lot. But then the rest of it is accounted for by based on the fact that women don't negotiate their salaries. They don't. They take what is ever offered.
Why not?
Well, this is what I'm saying. Like, why can't women negotiate? And I've been saying this for years. Like, just ask for more. What are they going to do? They're going to say no. Like, if you refuse to negotiate, then don't complain when the man who did negotiate gets paid more.
How dare he? That's toxic masculinity.
Like, that's the way the world works, man. Like, yep. Come on. It's so ridiculous. Like, and you're saying like women are not capable of negotiating. I have negotiated many salaries and many contracts, yeah. And it's fine. And yet, no, it's not the most comfortable thing in the world. Mm-hmm. But whatever, you put on your big girl pants and you do it.
Yep, exactly. Yep, exactly. Or just your big human pants. Your big human pants. Big pants. They're just the pants. You just put your pants on.
Put your pants
just
on.
Just put your pants on and do it. If you want more money, ask for it, period.
Mm-hmm. Ask for what you're worth. World.
I know we kind of like swam around in a couple different subjects that we're both annoyed at right now, but that's fine. I love it because we didn't just complain. Stand up, talk, you know, ask. It's like we're offering advice. I love this. It's like, don't complain more than you offer an alternative. I love that line. I know you sore subject on who said it. It's fine. It was Bryson, okay. But don't worry about it. We don't have to. Okay.
Listen,
it's right though. It's right.
I can give people credit when they say things that are correct.
Okay. Well, it's like, you know, people love to complain. The internet is just awash with complainers and entitled human beings, and it's gross, to be honest, right? It's
yeah.
Like Twitter is a cesspool of complaints. I mean, Twitter all social media, really.
No, right? But Twitter is the worst. Twitter is absolutely the worst place that exists on the internet. And the only redeeming value is like, it's a great place to get breaking news. And it's a great place to interact with, like, you know, I mean, you can get like in front of like the content creators that you really respect and like the people you want to have conversations with. But that is the only use of Twitter, so far as I'm concerned. I hate it.
Yeah. Well, and I follow specific journalists and senators and you know, specific people that I know aren't trying to BS me, you know. So
yeah,
all right, let's move on to some better stuff, right? We got pleasant subjects for the rest of the show.
Make it a happy show.
All right, I know you had an April Fool's gag. I had one too. We're gonna get to it. I just want to talk to you guys about the origins of April Fool's. I don't know how many people know where it came from. And it's actually kind of an interesting... Do you know what the story of April Fool's?
I have no idea. I feel like I'm going to get a history lesson. I'm enjoying it.
I kind of do. I kind of have a little bit of a history lesson.
You should put on a cap like you're a professor, Adam.
I don't have like a professor's cap.
I do have a professor's cap. I have ordered...
Do you?
Hang on.
Let's see what she's got.
I do have a professor's hat.
That is very, very professor's. Kind of doesn't work with the headphones.
No, but that's okay.
So it's kind of a cool story. It dates back to the 1500s. So it's 15. Let me get the date right. 1582. And so what happened was, in France, they switched from the Julian calendar to the Gregorian calendar, and the difference was before that, the beginning of the year was around the end of March, early April, because the spring. The winter's over. Okay, now it's a new year to start planning for the next winter. So that's how it used to be. And there was a, I forget what it's called. It was like a papal announcement. Like he decreed that the beginning of the year would be January 1st and start it then as the new Gregorian calendar. let's see, what was it? The Council of Trent in 1563. So, so it was the spring equinox that would start it. And people started, I mean, they didn't have the internet back then, right? It was in the middle of the 1500s. Is that the 1500s or the 1600s? The 1600s is like before, in between 15 and 1600?
No, 1600 is between 1600 and 1700. So it'd be 1500s. Sure? I'm sure pretty that? Sure. I'm wearing a professor hat, Adam.
Like the 20th century. Isn't that 1900 to 2000?
Yes, but if you're talking about the 1600s, it's going to be the 1600s.
But we're in the 21st century, and it's not 2121.
Wait, did you say 15th century? I don't know.
1582. That's the 1600s, isn't it?
No, it's the 1500s. I'm sure.
I don't know. No. 1582. Chat agrees with me. Chat's telling me it's 16th century is between 1500 and 1599.
That's not what you said, though. You said 1500s. That's different than 15th century.
1500s is the 16th century. Okay, so I see what you're saying. Okay, wait, hold on. Nisha's, what do we got? What is it?
16th century.
Uh-huh. 16th century is 1500. 1500s is 1500. Ah, okay.
We're
so
both
you're right.
We're both right.
Okay, so
you're both right.
All right, good. All right. So we got it. Anyway, so April Fools, right? So there was no internet back then. And because they declared it in this city, right? And they're like, all right, the beginning of the year will be January 1st now. So they celebrated the new year, and everyone out in the countryside and around the country, they didn't know. So they were celebrating on April 1st. That just happened to be the date that they would celebrate the beginning of the new year. And, the social elites would be like partying January 1st, like, Happy New Year. And then they'd maybe travel to their countryside homes, and everyone's like, can we get the New Year's Day off? I'm just obviously making examples up. And they're like, oh, you pleb, New Year's was 3 months ago. Sipping their tea and making fun of the people that were celebrating 3 months late, calling them April Fools. So they were actually the fools of April, because they believed that it was New Year's and April 1st. So that's speculative. So they claim that that's what it is. That's the most agreed upon origin of April Fools. So it's kind
that's
of
a good story. That's a good
kind
story.
Of fun, right? It's kind
it
of fun to think about. And then there's I have some funny check this out. So there's been some really interesting, hilarious, the time Burger King introduced the left-handed Whopper. Only for left-handed customers.
That's funny.
And it's some very serious differences here between the left and the right. They are just switched. And it's I mean, that's pretty good. I mean, when I first saw that, I was laughing, because that's pretty good. This one's also pretty funny. April Fool's Day in 1957, the BBC created a hoax in which they convinced the nation that spaghetti was grown from spaghetti trees in Italy and Switzerland. Spaghetti trees.
That's industrious right there.
It's pretty funny. And then we got this article, why we should ban April Fool's Day. Now, this is from 6 years ago. Can you imagine? This is 6 years ago. And I'm going to skip this whole article, because the last paragraph sums it up perfectly. And I'm seeing this constantly. I saw it last year. I'm seeing it today. Skip all this stuff. Those days are going strong. Why do we need April Fool's Day at all, when we're served a steady diet of hoaxes every single time we log on to the internet? The conceit behind the great media-based pranks of old was that sources we normally trusted were sharing something that should obviously be fake. Ha ha. But now it's become a commonplace. That joke, like any joke you see repeated over and over again, just really doesn't seem funny anymore. And here we go. We don't need April Fool's Day, because every day is April Fool's Day. I mean, the sentiment of that is thick in the past year. Am I wrong?
Well,
am I right?
No,
am I right?
You're right, but I have to say, I am not in favor of banning April Fool's Day, because
me
April
neither.
Fool's Day is the only day of the year that I could say something like, Joe Biden Wait. Won 80 million votes, and it would make complete sense.
Or that, I'm starting to think the Democrats really are the more sane of the two major parties.
And I said this one like 20 minutes after midnight. So it really, like, people were unfollowing me. They were very upset. And so I had to post a follow up.
I scrolled down a little bit and boom, this tweet is from an account that no longer, people are deleting their accounts over this. Jeez, what did you do?
This is probably my best April Fool's Day prank ever.
Slamming her phone. My goodness, this is great. I couldn't help myself either. I'm going to ask him to rejoin the Timcast IRL show. You know, people were like, how dare you? And I was like, well, it's better than saying I'm going to rejoin the Timcast IRL show. I mean, I tried to like make a joke with like some truth in there. Mm-hmm. You know, the best April Fool's jokes are like based on some truth or something that could happen. Like, say Zuby here, like after careful thought and reflection, I've decided I'm leaving Twitter. Grateful for each and every one of you. I mean, the problem is like it could be true. I could have asked him to rejoin that show. Zuby could leave Twitter because it's a cesspool, as we mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. And you may lean your liberal side might be like, listen, come back over here. Get over here.
It's true. I have been complaining a lot about the Republicans lately, so it would make actually a lot of sense.
Yeah. I mean, there's fun jokes, and then there's like telling someone that they wish would be true, and that, you know, it's like dangling a low-hanging fruit and then ripping it out from under them. It's like there's certain things that are just brutal. Like, I don't know. You know, people, someone said only people who aren't funny make jokes on April Fool's Day. And there's funny jokes and there are funny April Fool's jokes, mm-hmm. but most of them aren't funny because they're just mean. You know, like you got to have a tinge of truth for them to be good. And that's why I feel like shout out to Zuby because he had a good one too.
Yes,
and I'm sure there's others out there. But of course, me and Carlin, you know, we got to prop ourselves up a little bit, right? Yeah. I mean, you know what I'm saying?
It was a pat on the back for that one.
I thought it was good. But I got a lot of people were retweeting mine like, yes!
It's all happening!
We've been waiting for this! Maybe we'll finally figure out what happened! No.
No. You'll never know.
No. It's not going to happen.
No.
Sorry. Anyway, segue to the next subject. Let's move on, shall we? And just dangle that and leave it hanging. All right. Anyway, happy
such a tease.
What's up?
You're such a tease.
Happy April Fool's Day, everyone. I hope you had a wonderful day so far and that you didn't get too got by anyone out there. All right, let's talk about this ridiculous story. My goodness. I mean, before I want to start by saying I'm really happy nothing happened to this woman. Okay. I am going to make fun of her. All right. But I am happy that nothing bad happened because this could have been really bad. Okay. I don't know if you recognize what this is.
That looks like a dangerous creature to me.
What gives you that idea?
The fact that it has bright blue spots.
Yeah. Yeah. Look at those blue rings. Mm-hmm. This is, in fact, the blue ringed octopus. It's very deadly. It's very deadly. And a Bali tourist unknowingly filmed herself playing with it. Yeah, she was playing for nearly 20 minutes. They were passing it between her and her friend. And oh my goodness, it's ridiculous. She was vacationing in Bali. She filmed herself holding what she thought was an adorable octopus. Hey, whoa. It is an adorable octopus.
It is.
Okay, just because it's deadly doesn't mean it's not adorable. All right, how dare you? Okay, sorry. Octopuses are cool. All right, I like them. And they are cute.
You can admire it from afar, though. You don't have to pick it up.
And take it out of its environment. Rude. Goodness. Anyway, check this out. I actually have her original. This is it right here. Look at it. It's crawling around on her hand like, I want to go back home.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. You almost died, girl. Okay. This is powerful. Go ahead. What?
I think generally, I mean, I think animals can kind of sense when humans don't have ill intent. And thank God for her that's true, because that octopus probably knew that it was okay. But if they had tried any nonsense, like, it wouldn't have turned out so
smart.
Well.
They are very smart. The octopuses are not to mess around with, and they really know what they're doing. They can open jars if you lock them into a jar. Like, they can get through and solve puzzles. There's even a documentary. I think it's called My Octopus Teacher. I might be wrong on that, but it's on Netflix, and it's an incredible story of a diver who was just documenting the ecosystem of just a small little reef nearby where he was staying. And he met an octopus and started going back to the same place and then just started following her. It was a female octopus, and he became friends with it, and it became really comfortable with him, and then started like hanging out with him. And then they started, like, he would like hug it. Like, they had a relationship, and it was cool. Before all these freaks out there that assume some weird thing. No, it's like, you know, like a dog, a wolf has a relationship with a human being. Like, there's a kinship that developed, and it's a really cool documentary. And it shows that they have a personality. They do things they smack fish out of spite just to like, nah, I don't like you, get away from me, you know? And they mess around. They create shells. They gather things. They're very interesting creatures, and they're very, very smart. And it's on Netflix, and I don't know what it's called, but it's very cool. Some people in chat have seen it. Very cool. Yeah, it's really a cool thing. But check this thing out. I mean, they are incredible animals. Blue-ringed octopus. Small but deadly. Check this out. This is a little blurb about it. At first glance, the blue-ringed octopus looks perfectly innocuous. Its psychedelic coloring and pint-sized packaging make it seem more adorable than alarming. But don't let its cuddly exterior fool you. This tiny octopus can kill you, and quickly. Native to the Pacific Ocean, the blue-ringed octopus can be found in the soft, sandy bottom of shallow tide pools and coral reefs. When not seeking food or a mate, blue-ringed octopuses often hide in crevices, shells, or marine debris. If you catch them outside their cozy hiding spots, it's easy to see how the animal gets its name. When threatened, blue rings appear all over its body as a warning signal to potential predators. Although all octopuses, as well as cuttlefish and some squid, are venomous, the blue-ringed octopus is in a league of its own. Its venom is 1,000 times more powerful than cyanide, and its golf ball-sized powerhouse packs enough venom to kill 26 humans within minutes. It's no surprise that it's recognized as one of the most dangerous animals in the ocean. Blue-ringed octopuses produce a potent neurotoxin called tetrodotoxin, a potentially deadly substance also found in pufferfish. The venom is produced by symbiotic bacteria in the animal's saliva glands and is more toxic than any land mammals. It's primarily used when hunting. The octopus captures crabs, shrimp, and small fish by pecking through its prey's exoskeleton with its beak and inserting the venom. Then it will use its beak to pick off the meat while its prey remains helplessly paralyzed. And in the end, only the tough outer shell of its prey remains. Brutal. So what happens if you're bitten by a blue-ringed octopus? First, the venom blocks nerve signals throughout the body, causing muscle numbness. Other symptoms include nausea, vision loss, or blindness, a loss of senses, loss of motor skills. Ultimately, it will cause muscle paralysis, including the muscles needed for humans to breathe, leading to respiratory arrest. There is no known antidote, but the victims can be saved if artificial respiration is started immediately. If you ever encounter this blue and yellow beauty, back away in a hurry. Its bite is usually painless, so you might not know if you've been bitten until it's too late. Fortunately, the blue-ringed octopus isn't aggressive. It's only likely to bite if cornered or handled. In fact, there have been no known deaths from its bite since the 1960s. As long as you keep your hands to yourself, you should be fine. That woman is lucky to be alive.
She is so lucky.
Lucky to be alive. I mean, I was taught as a kid, you see a bright colored snake, frog, any animal,
you stay the heck away. You stay away. You don't pick it up. Yeah.
What was she thinking? What was she thinking? I mean,
well, you know what happened is they were teaching her anti-racist stuff in school and they never got to the don't touch the bright animal lesson. This is like the epitome of what is going on.
Way to bring it around. Way to bring it back.
This is it right here. We are not teaching valuable life lessons because they're learning nonsense.
She's right. That was good. I like how you brought that back. That brain over there. That brain.
It's the hat.
I'm gonna bring this video of hers back because I want to just see. It definitely has the bright spots.
Oh, yeah. It was not in a good place. Yeah.
Yeah, it definitely had the bright spots. I was curious. I'm like, did it have the bright spots? It probably didn't have the bright spots when she picked it up. Maybe. And if she did, she was probably like, look how splashing water on it. What are you doing? Oh, my gosh. Splash, splash. We're keeping you alive. You know what that's like? It's like an alien picking a human up. Like, come check out space. And we're like freezing and like, imagine, right? I mean, we are essentially aliens to them. We don't live in the ocean. We don't exist there. We go there to check it out.
Right.
We can't breathe there. They can't breathe here.
Maybe all I can hope for is that she is very grateful for her life now and that she goes on to do something productive with it. Honestly.
Yeah. Well, I sure hope so. Right.
Yeah.
Anyway. I'm glad you're alive, Kaylin.
Congratulations.
Her name's Kaylin. Close to Carlin, but not
exactly.
Mm-mm. Not the same. all right, let's get into some super chats. Thanks everyone for tuning in.
Oh, it's good to have you. Show. Jeez.
Well, I only do three segments now from now on. That's I cut it down to three. Yeah, because I was spending too much of my day, and I was kind of like. It just became a lot to do more than three. So now I'm just sticking to three and it's great.
Can I tell you a funny story about what happened with the New Hampshire? Okay, so I've had an education in libertarians in the last couple of weeks because like New Hampshire has a very large libertarian population because there's the Free State Project here. And one of the things I've learned, because I always thought that the Libertarian Party was kind of useless.
Yeah.
Right. Like they ran a horrible presidential candidate. The party is useless, whatever. But there's the Mises Caucus within the Libertarian Party who are like rabble rousers. They actually want to get stuff done. And they're much more useful. And there's a lot of them in New Hampshire. So the New Hampshire Libertarian Party a couple weeks ago was having their big convention where they were electing their officers. And so there's this guy, Nick Sarwark, I think is his name. He was the chairman of the National Libertarian Party for like years. And I first became aware of this guy because he got into a fight with James Lindsay on Twitter. And it was kind of funny. And he was kind of acting like an SJW. And I was like, who is like libertarians have SJWs? Like, what is going on?
Yeah. So, that doesn't make any sense. No. SJW libertarian? What?
But he very much is. He's an SJW libertarian.
That doesn't make any sense, though. Libertarians are like, you do you, leave me alone. What?
Well, one would think. And
that's
remember,
what I think.
This guy was the chairman of the National Party. Like, he was like a bigwig in the party. So they're having their little New Hampshire Libertarian Convention, and this guy decides to run for treasurer of the New Hampshire Libertarian Party. Now, I guess this is true of all libertarians. Anytime they're electing officers to a position, you have to have a none of the above choice. So this guy was the only guy in contention for treasurer. So it was him and none of the above. And the Libertarian Party in New Hampshire hated this guy so much that he lost to none of the above.
That's funny. Wow.
I was like, these are libertarians I want to be around. And then the Mises Caucus swooped in like champions and they got their own candidate elected into the treasurer position. So they're actively trying to take over the Libertarian Party in New Hampshire.
Cool. Rabble rousers. I love that name.
I'm like, these are my type of people. So
nice.
I don't know. I thought you would appreciate that story. I thought it was like the chairman of the National Party lost to no one for a state treasurer position. This is how screwed up the libertarians are.
Jeez, that is embarrassing. Gotta be embarrassed at that. My goodness.
Oh my god, it's the worst. Anyway,
let's get into it, shall we?
Let's do some super chats.
Dr. Fox says birthday roll. It is Dr. Fox. Well, Dark Fox. I call him Dr. Fox because I didn't see the K in there. So I just said Dr. Fox. But it doesn't matter. It's your birthday. Happy birthday. And if it is also your birthday today, happy birthday. But most importantly, Dr. Fox says birthday roll. I'm saying 14. So I'm rolling to die, everybody. you know the deal. If you super chat me to roll the die and you guess the number, you get some die. I actually sent some off today. I have two more. The dice has been rolled. I'm sorry, Dr. Fox. It's not 14. It's not 14. I really kind of wanted it to be 14. And right off the bat, we got sizzling with JBJ. Congratulations. It is 18.
Oh, you so won. Close.
You won. Save it for something nice. You won absolutely nothing. All right. Commander says, hey, Adam, you forgot about me running in North Dakota. Ha ha ha. But it's all good. We need to not give up or give in. Stand up and fight. Well, I agree with you, Commander. And thank you. I mean, that's what we need. People standing up and getting into government, even though it's a pain in the behind, Carlin, right? I see we'll what you're see. Dealing with, but it's because of people like you, even just bringing the information out, like, look at what's going on in our schools. Look what's happening in politics. People need to be aware of it because they don't know. They don't know. I don't know. RJ, thank you for that super chat. Hydro says, this is why conservatives should be happy schools are closed and their children are being homeschooled. But they're not. The eighth grader was in a Zoom class.
Yeah. Yeah.
Being indoctrinated in their home. They were home being indoctrinated.
And many of the schools are making parents sign something saying they won't watch what the kids are learning.
That I would never sign that.
No, I wouldn't either.
I would never sign that. Like, no, there's zero chance. I want to know what they're watching. I want to know what they're doing, what they're talking about. It's like, well, I don't have to worry because my kids will never go to a school here in America.
Good choice.
Period. I'm serious. I'm not joking.
Oh, I would homeschool. I'm not joking. I would not. Yeah. I would not send them to public school.
That's not
Absolutely
a joke. Not. I'm not raising my kids here. No way. Mm-mm. Byron Banks says, this is an April Fool's joke, people. Carlin is still fired. Well, she does. No. Well, joke's on you. She doesn't work for me. Ha.
Exactly.
Right?
You're not the boss of me, Adam.
Yeah, I know. And even if I was the boss, I would hire you because of your merit and because you earned the spot.
Exactly.
Not because you're a woman.
Thank you.
Blackwell Disco says, I was not joking yesterday. The little duck, one to lie down, is out on YouTube. It's a little ditty I whipped up for the marks in chat. Spin the UFO. I will spin it. The little ducks want to lie down. Say it, Carlin. Say it.
Little ducks want to lie down.
Now say it with an English accent.
I can't say it with an English accent.
The little ducks would love to lie down.
That is a horrible English accent, Adam. That is
No. I wasn't going
accent.
For English accent. I was just going for some sort of accent.
The little ducks want to lie down.
That's nice. I like it.
That's my snooty
The little
accent.
Ducks want to lie down. I don't know where that even came from. Someone said it yesterday, and it just became a thing somehow. I don't know. But I'm having fun with it either way. All right. Darth Salad the Tosser.
That's a good name. That's a good one.
That's a good name, Darth. Darth Salad the Tosser says, parents are useless and have already thrown the nation away. The only hope we have is if we can red pill youth. We must create the new punk rock society that I can get behind. You're absolutely right. Punk rock now, I mean... Conservatism is the new punk rock. They think punk rock is like going with the narrative, supporting corporation. Like, wait a minute, what? No, it's
supporting
not.
War?
It's going against the narrative.
Yeah,
it's fighting the man. Guess what? The man is the corporations. It's the Democrats.
Democrats.
Yep.
They control everything.
Yep. Hydro says, people who operate from emotions are easy to fool. Oh, it's so painful how true that is. Right?
Yeah, it is. But I'll tell you what, the right operate from emotions just as much as the left do. And I think they sometimes lie to themselves about that fact.
Well,
this isn't even
saying the left or right. This is just a simple statement of truth. Because as you said, it's both sides. Yep.
Both
it's
sides.
Like people who operate from emotions are easy to fool because they don't see logic. You even said it like, hey, here's the bill. Which one is racist? Which one don't you agree with? Pick one. and explain it to me. Please pick any one of these. Go ahead. I'll be waiting. You're still waiting because yeah, they just waiting. Are shrieking with emotions. El Diablo Loco Poco says, worth the super chat. When they ask for my vax passport, I will show them my voter registration card. Nice. And hi, Carlin. And spin the UFO the other direction. I've never been asked this before.
You
but
rebel.
I will do that. I will spin it in the other direction. You can barely see. Carlin, I'm going to get rid of you for a second. Don't worry. I just, this is cool. Oh. This is a first. No one's ever asked this before.
Oh, it's so dramatic.
Yeah,
there
right?
it goes. It's
the
like
aliens
we're
in there are like, thank you.
It's like we're in Australia, Adam.
Oh, there we go. The southern hemisphere. Things spin the other way.
Mm-hmm.
Fun. I like that. Jonathan, thank you for that super chat. Harrison Gray says, I live in Boston, wrote Marty Walsh to ask him why he supported the Portland Rioters. He said protesters last year. Never got a response from him. Well, you never will, Harrison.
Well, now he's the labor secretary. Congratulations.
Gosh, goodness sakes. Joshua Ryman says, Adam, this time reminds me of the Lord of the Rings alliances between elves and men, conservatives and common sense liberals / libertarians. On to Mordor. Yeah, maybe. It feels like people are waking up.
You know, there was a big hullabaloo on Twitter last night where there's like this band of like anti-woke elitist intellectuals that hate all of the scrappy people fighting the woke. And there was a tiff on Twitter yesterday because the intellectuals got pissed at Chris Rufo for saying that they really should consider teaming up with Trump supporters because they have this in common. And they're like, no, we cannot possibly team up with Trump.
No
like,
way.
Dude, no.
They want to make America great again.
We cannot compromise our values.
I've never wanted to wear that beanie around more than I do now. No joke.
You should.
I mean, I still have it, but it's a thick beanie and it's not really cold. This beanie is sweet. This is my boy Frank, by the way. It's my homie. You may know him. This is my boy Frank.
It's got a mustache on it.
It's that's his thing. You know, he has epic mustaches. They come and go, but they're very epic. But it's thin. It's a really thin beanie, so it's quite nice. And I have a lot of hair, and I tuck it into the beanie. So it tends to actually be less hot with the beanie on. So I know it doesn't really make a lot of sense, but it does.
It's a summer beanie.
Summer beanie. Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And thank you for that super chat, Joshua. It means a lot. Charmed says, what happened with Adam's Technicolor dream sweater? Did I miss the presentation?
No, I don't know. Listen, so I always knit multiple projects. So I was working on a different project and it's just I got to a really complicated part of the sweater. I needed to take a break. I'm going to now revisit the sweater and get it done. I'm actually like close to being done. So
oh, dope. I'm excited.
Yeah.
And if you want to check it out, you've been like there's a hashtag, right? If you want to check out the process.
Hashtag Adam's Dream Code. I've been posting pictures on Instagram and Twitter and all that stuff. But like I said, I took a little bit of a break because I needed to. I'll be more creative when I come back.
Cool. Yeah, no worries. And I know you've been busy and it's for the most righteous cause. So I don't blame you at all. It's all good. Mark G says, I would like to complain that I ran out of Krigler coffee and I am entitled to an endless bag of Krigler coffee. How dare you? No one is entitled to anything in this world. Nobody. Also, you're close to order number 1776. Cool. Man, I don't even pay attention to how many orders we have, but if we're almost, that's a lot of orders.
That's amazing. That this company isn't that old. That's amazing.
You know
Adam.
What it is? The coffee speaks for itself because it's good. It's good coffee. It really is good coffee. I mean, I drink it myself. I mean, why would I have a coffee company that I don't like myself? I love coffee. And waking up and having a good cup of coffee is so clutch. I can't stand crappy coffee. And it's a pleasure to have people support me. So thank you so much if you're out there supporting me. You guys are fantastic. And all right. Let's see. Hannah says, Carlin, do you think our VP actually crochets? Check out Hannah Maldette on Etsy. I'd love to donate some of my yarn to Adam's Dream Coat. Oh, thanks, Hannah.
Oh, yeah, so definitely nice. Send me a DM on Twitter or like get in touch with me through my website and we can talk about that. Do I think our VP crochets? No. No, obviously not. But if she does, crochet is like, I'm sorry, knitting is a far superior craft to crochet. We have two needles. Crochet only has one hook. So if she does crochet, she's picked the right craft for her, the inferior craft.
Sounds like fighting words.
I'll stab you in the eye with a needle.
Whoa, calm yourself. Everyone has their own hobbies, all right, Carlin? And it's okay. Mark G says it's the 100-year war all over again. I'm not sure what we were talking about there, but frightening.
Like, probably critical race theory. Who knows?
Yeah, maybe. Probably. Six Semper Tyrannus says, relative of mine says to fight racism must see color, and I point to a racial affinity group, and response was saying colorblind is racist because it denies their existence and culture. See, like...
Well, so here's my perspective on this. I think that conservatives fight this, well, not just conservatives, like anyone who makes this argument that like, I don't see color. Like, of course you do. I'm sorry. Like, I just think that's like a dumb saying, and it invites
it's not literal though. That's the thing. Well, they're not literally saying, I can't tell what color skin you are because I'm colorblind. No.
Listen, I know that and you know that, but you would avoid the disagreement entirely if you just said, I don't treat people differently because of their skin color. Okay. I will treat you the same.
Well, it's taking
red,
that
white,
and just
blue, brown,
it's
purple.
Like, I don't see colors.
It gets people into these unnecessary conflicts where then it's all about the semantics of the thing, and it's not even what you really mean. You know,
that is a huge problem for almost everything on the internet right now.
Well, that's true.
The semantic BS, because I took it this way. Well, that's your perspective on what you read and how you would say that. And then it's like, well, blah blah blah, this is how you meant. You were saying this. And it's like, how do you know what I was saying if you can't blah, 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 stop? You just want to fight. You just want to be angry.
That's the big problem, is that people, you know what? I saw an article today and I posted a video on my channel about it, and it was like, because YouTube wouldn't monetize the article, which is stupid, but like whatever. So it's an article about how people are reporting that they're experiencing more harassment working from home. And I'm just
from
like,
where? From who?
Exactly. Where is it? The harassment is coming from inside the house. Like, they're just, they want to be angry about something. So they're
the
making.
The room was yelling at me.
Like, where? Who's harassing you?
The Lego brick on the floor.
It's because everything is happening over Zoom and Slack. And I'm like, then take a screenshot and report it. Otherwise, I don't believe you. I'm sorry. Right. Like, the internet is the easiest place to document this stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. People of the 1500s, thank you for that super chat. The message was retracted. Same with Mark G. Message was also retracted. The people of the 1500s says, we were real men, unlike you soy boys today. Whoa, sir. I can build my own house, right? I know how to do all of that from the ground up, foundation to the roof. All right? Most soy boys can't do it. And I'm vegan.
You could start a school for vegans, Adam, about life skills, valuable, like King Randall is doing.
Vegans? No, I would never do that. That would never, ever be a part of it, because I do that for me. If I want to teach life skills, I would love to teach people how to drywall or how to like fix a patch in the wall, because most people don't know how to do that. It's so easy. Or to paint correctly, or to fix a doorway, or to install a window. Like, I might do that, actually. Because it is kind of fun. Or make a silver ring, you know, because those are also fun to make. Jake Dog says, Doctor, you very smart. How I get Sav to marry my dad? Jeez. This is from a dog, mind you.
Oh, all right. Okay.
This is a dog. Look, Jake Dog, by the way, I saw your Instagram message and saw a whole bunch of pictures of Jake Dog. He's actually rather cute. He's a cute dog. So it is kind of weird that you're trying to marry Savannah's dad, or marry Savannah off to your dad. Mm-hmm. It's a little weird because Sav's not even on the show right now. This is Carlin. Show some respect. All right.
Yeah.
All right, Jake Dog. Bernstein Wolf says, why did you leave Timcast IRL? I didn't. I was fired. Gilgamesh's war cat says, Adam, happy April soy Jesus. Spin the UFO. I will do that. I'm going to spin it the correct way now, because I don't know. You know, when I say spin, I'm just going to spin it. All right.
We're doing it the American way now, not the Australian way.
The American. We're Americans.
The American way.
This is American.
Make UFOs great again.
Yeah, right. Mark G says, smash the like button and spin that atom. Yeah, yeah. Let's just go with that. Look, mm-hmm. guys, if you haven't smashed the like button, it's okay. I'm not that upset. I'm only a little bit upset. But I would be less upset if you did smash that like button. Smash the like button. Smash it. Smash. And also share this video. And please subscribe to both me and Carlin.
Yeah, subscribe to me. You know what we do with the like button on my channel, Adam?
What do you do?
We mount the like button.
Gosh. That's so wrong. That's so wrong.
And yet so right at the same time.
How? How do you
mount the like button?
No, do you
Adam?
Know who Az is? Heels versus Babyface?
No.
He's a streamer. He's got this song called Ocean Man, and it like gets in my head sometimes. It's so bad, but it's I can't even do it. Something to do with what he does and mounting something, just it's what I'm picturing, and it's so bad, and I'm not going to say it out loud. Alex says, you need to look into the SEC lawsuit against Ripple/XRC and now Library/LBC as well. It could have effects on the entire crypto world in the US. Interesting. I don't know much about it.
The CEO of Library is actually involved in, he lives like not that, he lives like 20 minutes away from me. He's involved in the New Hampshire Libertarians. And it's a massive thing. Like the SEC has been investigating his company for like, or been coming after his company for like 3 years.
Wow.
It's crazy.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm going to check that out. Grace Fang says, the only sovereign you can allow to rule is you, or to rule you is reason. The only sovereign you can allow to rule you is reason. The wizard's sixth rule. Is that Harry Potter or something? Or
I have no idea.
I don't know. I don't. But it's a wizard rule. But it's a good rule. I do like that. I do like that. Stormwinds. I like the name. Love the show and Carlin. Check out Ruined Leon. He's based and speaks out against wokeism with common sense. I do enjoy me some common sense. My goodness, Ruined Leon. All right, I'll check him out. Sure. Thanks. Death Watcher says, I just saw Atomcast again. I am subscribed, but YouTube hasn't been showing Adam's videos in my feed. Well, this is not new. This is something that's been going on for quite some time. I've been told by many, many, many people almost daily that I don't show up in their notifications. I don't show up at all. They don't see me anymore. They had to resubscribe. All of these things. I'm not really surprised because I don't talk about what they want me to talk about.
YouTube's going to YouTube.
YouTube going YouTube, man. Mm-hmm. Jaya says, whoa, whoa, Carlin, crochet is a difficult craft.
Listen,
calm
Jaya...
down. Whoa, calm down. She's not done. Not done.
Okay,
not done.
Okay.
Jaya
okay.
continues. Love the coffee, Adam, and love your locals, Carlin. Now
Jaya
worked.
Jaya is awesome. Jaya is going to be president someday. Mark nice. My words, she really is. But we disagree on this point, Jaya.
And you're allowed to, and that's
yes,
okay.
We're allowed to disagree.
That's okay. That's okay. Crappy Coffee says, "You can't stand me, huh? Well, you just lost a sub, Mister. Bye bye. I'll tell you what. All the other a holes that I block. Bye bye."
I love it when people like are demanding I say certain things, otherwise they're gonna unsubscribe from my channel. I'm like, you're welcome to go. No one told Bye-bye. You had to say stay.
I'm
go.
Gonna be me. I'm not gonna change me for you. I don't change me for anybody. Mm-mm. No. Bye-bye.
I'm not a trained monkey to entertain you.
That's good that you know that. Jeremiah says people who get angry about I don't see color are looking to be angry and argue. There is no winning with these people. Some people just, when they're emotional and angry, they're not going to move out of that place mentally because it's a trigger. It's not just, they're not calm and they're not rational. They're not logical.
Well, they're addicted to it. They're addicted to the emotion. And every time they get a hit of the emotion, it's like a drug. Mm-hmm. And even though, like, you know, anger shouldn't feel good to people, it's like, ooh.
I need my hit, man.
That's really what happens. That's what it is. And when they don't get angry for an extended period of time, they go through withdrawal. Yep. And then they start looking for things to be angry about.
Yep.
Yep.
Yep. Guys, everyone's like, everyone's like, oh, you missed the joke. I know it was a joke, guys. I know it was crappy coffee and it wasn't a real. You guys thought I was serious?
God,
my goodness, chat. You all get, calm down. Y'all
calm
need
down
to calm,
with your outrage.
Y'all need to calm
chat.
Down in chat. I know it was a joke. Jeez. Seriously, chat? I'm a little disappointed in you right now.
Not angry.
Goodness
sake.
It was crappy coffee. I know who that is. I know it wasn't serious. Wow.
The internet is off the rails lately, man. I'll tell you what.
I missed the joke. Y'all missed the joke. Y'all missed the counter joke that I riddled with truth. See, good jokes are riddled with truth. We discussed this earlier. Come on.
Keep up, people.
Funny. That's funny. Oh my goodness. Gee, come on. Student of history says perhaps people's failed relationships are finally catching up with them, and that's where the harassment's coming from Drop the Wine and Fix It, Karen. Oh my gosh. That's a good point.
It's true.
Divorce was on a rise in 2020 because people were like, oh gosh, I'm married to you. Brutal. Jeez. Ouch. The truth can be painful sometimes. Let's see. Mark G says, so what's the cost to rent you as a build teacher? You can't afford me right now. It's way too much at the moment.
Adam, you should do special videos for your local supporters of you building things and
patching. Don't get me started.
Holes.
I know I need to do more on my locals. I definitely got to do it. It's true. This is how you patch a hole in the wall. Six Semper Tyrannus says, follow up. I did explain that I judge content of character, not skin color. Relative says same, but then says we must fight against our white privilege. And it's like,
oh, for Christ. That's like, when you can say no.
It's like, no. I just open your eyes. My gosh. I'm sorry, Six Semper. You got to deal with that. That sucks. Lady Feline says, I'm so late to the stream, but had a long freaking day at work. Tuning in to see Adam and Carlin together again makes me happy.
Mm.
And then, of course, welcome back, Dr. Carlin.
Yes.
Well, she wasn't gone for good. She was just busy.
I wasn't gone. I was just
and
busy.
I also, it kind of worked out because I actually had a bunch of people that were only able to do Thursday. So the guests that I've had, it just kind of worked out that you were busy and I had guests on Thursday. So
everything happens for a reason, people. Just go with the flow.
Yeah. Flow with it. Friendly Neighborhood Sawyer says, that was a bald yet regrettable move firing Adam. I meant bold. No, he said bald. It's I read it verbatim. So Sawyer, you're
a good
brutal
one.
Man. That was brutal.
Well played, good sir.
Jeez. Walba says, can Carlin knit and crochet and tat? I can.
And tat? No, I cannot. Tatting is crazy. No. Yeah.
Well, Walba can, and all are different.
They are all different. Yeah.
Yeah. Someone seems a little triggered there, Walba. And flexing. That's a flex trigger. I could do all three at the same time.
That's some talent right there.
Right? Friendly Neighborhood Sawyer says, what should I have for dinner with my whiskey? An ice cube.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit of water inside to really open up the flavors. Awesome. Well, I will be having some whiskey tomorrow because you know what it is. It's Friday. It's jam night. It's jam sessions. Playing some music. I've been really enjoying my Friday shows. Just kind of like I'm enjoying my show now. I'm less stressed about it. I'm having more fun.
I very much enjoyed your last Friday show. I don't know what the heck happened after the show, but I really enjoyed show itself.
Yeah, that show. My goodness. It was it was a good show.
I
had Jeremy
from
The Quartering on. It was fantastic. He's hilarious. We talked about guns and whiskey. Like, it was great. He sat down and I was like, I don't know what we're going to talk about. And he's like, I don't either. And I was like, let's go live. And it just hit live. And we just shot the shit.
And you drank some whiskey too. And
we had some whiskey.
Mm-hmm.
And then I jammed some jams. Yeah, it was good. It was a lot of fun. So, all right. Well, thank you all for joining. Carlin, it's good to see you and have you on the show
again. Thank you.
I don't know if I'll see you next week. You might. Oh, No, you won't see me next week. I am sadly traveling to Chicago because my grandma's wake is Wednesday and her funeral is Thursday. So I'm going to take a few days off next week and just spend it with my family. I will be here Monday and Tuesday, but Wednesday and Thursday I will not be here because I'm taking off for that. So,
well, and, safe travels, Adam.
Thank you. Thank you. And I will see you all tomorrow or later tonight on my Twitch stream. Have a wonderful night if I don't see you until tomorrow. Bye, everybody.
Please smash the like button for AdamCast IRL. Coming to you live every night, Monday through Fridays, 6:30 to 8 p.m. Eastern Time.